Economic Indicators.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Welcome to the Morning Open, where we look at the broader economy as trading gets kicked off for the day. We're about 20 minutes in, so where's Wall Street? Markets are mixed right now. The NASDAQ up about, a tenth of a percent. The S&P down a tenth. And the Dow down about 10 points at 10,281. European shares up about a third of a percent, and Asian markets closed mostly lower today. President Obama says jobs are a high priority in his administration, and to prove he's serious about creating them, he's putting together a forum on jobs at the White House next month.
We all know that there are limits to what government can and should do, even during such difficult times. But we have an obligation to consider every additional responsible step that we can to encourage and accelerate job creation in this country.
President Obama just moments ago at the White House. Let's get some reaction this morning from David Weiss, chief economist at Standard & Poor's, with us live from New York. Good morning.
Good morning.
So Mr. Obama made these comments before taking off for this week-long trip to Asia. Unemployment, we know, is above 10%. How much good can this do?
Well, we'll find out. Generally, though, it takes a long time for government to create jobs. We certainly found that out with this new stimulus package. And the other point is we're already spending, almost $1 trillion between the last two stimulus packages. Can we really afford to spend that much more?
Right. And we just got word that new claims for unemployment benefits fell last week by more than expected, 502,000 seasonally adjusted. We heard from the head of the World Trade Organization, David, saying rising unemployment is the biggest threat to free trade and could spark greater protectionist policies. Is that a bunch of hyperbole, do you think?
No, I think that's always the case. Basically, trade is always a jobs issue. When times are good, nobody really pays that much attention to it. It's hard to get much political traction. But when times are bad, it's easy for the demagogues to go out there and blame the foreigner. Because, after all, foreigners don't vote.
Right, right. David Weiss from S&P, we do appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Walmart today said profits rose 3.2%. But the company says sales at stores open at least a year fell slightly. Let's bring in Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer, who's with us live from our Washington Bureau. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning.
So these numbers are seen as sort of an indicator for the economy. Why?
Well, Walmart is the world's largest retailer. So retail analysts can learn a lot about what kind of shape consumers are in by looking at Walmart's numbers. Now, Ken Perkins of Retail Metrics has been crunching the numbers, and he says they show consumers are in bad shape.
And I think there's a lot of people that are just really getting by. So, there's not a lot of discretionary income available to those lower-end consumers that shop at Walmart.
Nancy, are these numbers all that bad?
Well, Perkins says, keep things in perspective. We are comparing this year's sales with the same time last year, and guess what? Walmart sales for the third quarter of 2008 were actually up about 3%. So Perkins says today's numbers are disappointing, but keep in mind they are being compared to numbers from last year that were very good. And Walmart isn't the only indicator out there. Nordstrom is going to be reporting its numbers after the market closes today.
All right. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer and our Washington Bureau. Nancy, thanks.
You're welcome.
Chipmaker Intel agreed to pay rival Advanced Micro Devices $1.25 billion to settle antitrust and patent disputes. Going forward, Intel will abide by a set of business practice provisions, and AMD will drop its antitrust complaints. And Hewlett-Packard is buying 3Com, a tech company that makes networking equipment. It's a more than $2.5 billion deal. 3Com stocks are up by 30% or more today.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing and online surveys. ConstantContact.com. And by CSX, working to reduce traffic and pollution while moving 750,000 tons of freight daily. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
Many of the smart guys on Wall Street underestimated the severity of the mortgage crisis. Some of them now are making sure they don't miss anything else. From New York, Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson tells us about the corporate debt cliff we still don't have a parachute for.
Companies are just like most Americans. When they need to buy something or even pay their people, they break out the credit card. Steve Miller tracks corporate debt for Standard & Poor's. He says, just like the rest of us, companies pay more or less interest on their debt depending on how likely they are to pay it back. The really dicey ones go to what's called the leveraged loan market.
Like in the mortgage market, you have the prime borrowers who are at the top of the food chain, and then the subprime that tend to be the riskiest borrowers.
Leveraged loans have another less polite name, junk. And in the boom years, companies loaded up on it.
Most of the debt got put in place in 2005 through 2007, and they tend to be seven-year maturities, would come due in 2012 to 2014.
To give you an idea of just how big the bill is going to be, Miller says $10 billion of that junk debt comes due next year, and it gets exponentially worse every year after that.
There's $1.5 trillion worth of outstanding leveraged loans and leveraged bonds.
Bram Smith directs the Loan Syndications and Trading Association. He says it's unlikely all the companies that borrowed that money will be able to pay it back on time.
Treasurers and CFOs now who are focusing on that are doing what they can to start chiseling away at their own individual amortization and pushing it forward.
What he means is they're looking desperately for ways to delay payback time by extending or refinancing the loans. Those that can't do that may not survive. But before you head for the nearest cliff, S&P's Steve Miller says we have been here before.
When the market fell out of bed in 1989 and 1990, there was a similar wall of maturities coming due in the mid-90s. For a while, there was a lot of anxiety around it and people doing transactions to try and push out some of those maturities. But then when the stock market recovered and the economy got going again, companies found buyers to take properties on and reduce the debt.
And they went looking for cash in the IPO market. They took their companies public. Miller and Smith say IPOs could be a savior this time as well. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Finally, California is about to start regulating big screen TVs to save energy. Other states looking at doing it as well. But a Rasmussen poll shows a majority asked say buying the TV they want is more important than energy conservation. 53%. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.